As we come into this holiday season, this Christmas season, we want to make sure that we do what is right. I know every Christmas season, it's one of those things where the pastor always takes certain scriptures and he takes and he presents something from the Christmas story throughout the Bible. And that's anywhere in the Bible, actually. But generally, at this time, we focus on the birth of Jesus. And so, I'm going to be no different. I'm not going to share with you anything that you haven't heard before. But I am going to share with you what God's laid on my heart for this message this morning. As we look, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 1. So if you want to turn there. And this week, as I was preparing, I felt like this was where it was supposed to be. But I wasn't really sure exactly. And then on Tuesday, or maybe Wednesday, I thought, well, I'm going to come up with a title for this. And I come up with the reason. And so I give Melissa the title, and she put it in the bulletin. And then probably Thursday, maybe Friday, it all changed. And so I thought, okay, this is all right. The title in the bulletin doesn't really matter, because a lot of times I don't stick with that anyway. And so I began to prepare. And this morning, it went back to the reason. And so it was the message I had prepared all week, but it went back to the reason. And so we're going to be, like I said, in Matthew 1. We're going to start in verse 18. And we know that through prophecy after prophecy in the Bible has been fulfilled, from the virgin birth to the town of Bethlehem and so many others. And the thing is, the people there, even though they knew the prophecy, they still didn't think it was going to happen near them, around them, affecting them personally. But it does. And let's go into that. Verse 18, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband, Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet: 'Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to the son, and he called his name Jesus." Let's pray. Father God in heaven, I just come before you now, and I lift up this passage, that you would have, Lord, whatever it is for us, teach us, guide us, mold us, shape us. Lord, help us to see your hand in everything. Lord, this is going to be a waste of time if you don't come and intervene. So I pray more than anything, God, that your Spirit would just flood this place. In your holy name I pray. Amen. As we look at this, this is that story, and we're going to focus on Joseph this morning and Joseph's life. But as I go through this, I think there's so much there that I miss. You know, we know that Joseph is a just man, and some translations will say righteous, but what it really means is he was a man that was of course, he was a Jew. He was in the lineage of David, and so that fulfilled prophecy. He was a good man. He was a just man. He was a law-abiding Jewish man who was living his life the way he should. And everything seemed to be going great for him. Here he's found this girl that he loves, and he's betrothed to her, and we don't do it this way today. But what they would do is the groom or the groom-to-be would go and he would go to the father of the bride and he would say, I want to marry your daughter. And he would pay him what is called a mohar. I may be pronouncing that wrong, but anyway, it's kind of like a dowry. But what it is he would pay the father or the family a certain amount of money. And that would take up for any loss that they might have when the daughter left the house. And then he would go away for a year and he would start somewhere around his father's house, maybe even building onto his father's house or building around his father's house or on the property or somewhere. And he would be there for a year and he would build this place. And then he would go back and at his timing, he would surprise the bride-to-be and come back and take her and bring her back to a wedding party where they would do the vows and be married. Now, don't you know girls would like that today? I mean, it's all left up to the groom. I'm just going to tell your dad and I'm going to go back and I'm going to build our house the way I want it. That would not have worked at my house, okay? When we built our first house, I got a little bit of say-so on the outside. But everything inside, it was done right. And so that was through her. But he went back and he built the house the way he wanted. He got it set. And then he picked a time and he came back and he would surprise her. She wouldn't even know when he was coming. He would come back and surprise her and then take her back to this house. And that's the way it worked. And so Joseph has got it all going right. Religion-wise, he's doing really well. Family-wise, he's doing really well. And he goes back to get her and he finds out that she's already pregnant. And so, man, his plans are shattered. There's this huge interruption in his pattern of everything that he wanted to do, of everything he had planned, of how he had lived his life to serve God. Everything seemed to be going good, and all of a sudden this happens. This huge interruption in his plans. And so he starts making new plans. He decides, you know, I love this girl. I don't want to go by the law, which he knew the law stated that if this happened, then and she was unfaithful, which he assumed she had been, he was hurt, he was crushed, the girl he loved, and the law says she's to be stoned. She's supposed to be put to death. And this is the girl that he loves. So all of a sudden, his life is totally upside down. It goes from being smooth and well-oiled, running just exactly the way he thought it should be because he was living the way God wanted him to. He was following the law. He was doing things right. And all of a sudden, things fall apart. So he comes up with a new plan. In his new plan, he decides not to shame her because he loves her. And he decides he's going to divorce her quietly. He's going to do it to where it doesn't cause her any shame. Now, remember, at this time, he still assumes that she was wrong. He still assumes that she was unfaithful, but he loved her so much that he didn't want to put her to shame, and so he decides he's going to divorce her quietly. That was his new plan. It seemed like a pretty good plan. It wasn't hurting him. It wasn't hurting her. It was a plan that seemed to be okay. And then, as he's thinking about this, as he's considering these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. This angel of the Lord comes to him and says, in my words, God's got a new design. And it's really not a new one. It's the one he's had all along. Your plans don't match up with my plans. You ever had that happen? Because this angel says, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife because that child that's within her is from the Holy Spirit. And you're going to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Man, you go to bed thinking and trying to come up with this new plan, and all of a sudden, God gives you a different plan. It's his plan all along. It's his design all along. He's just letting you in on it. And so it tells us that when Joseph woke up from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded. He was obedient. Now think about this. Now one, it's if you're hearing it from an angel of the Lord in a dream, you're probably going to obey it pretty easy. But he had been living his life as a good religious man, and it fell apart. And God comes and says, it's going to happen this way. And he wakes up and he does exactly as the angel told him. And then after she has the child, it says, and he called his name Jesus. When I read this story and we know that our Savior was going to come because of prophecy, because of what the Bible tells us, we knew exactly where, we knew exactly when. In the fullness of time, Galatians tells us, right at the perfect point in time, when Mary and Joseph had already come together, they had already fell in love at the perfect time. When all the ends were going to be busy, when all this was going to take place, at the perfect time, God set it all up. And as Joseph looks at it, man, you really messed up my plans. You ever think about that? But Joseph's obedience went to the point to where he was able to raise the Son of God in his house. God bestowed his Son to us, and Joseph and Mary were allowed to raise him in their house. Now, sometimes when we take this story of Joseph, we see how he was obedient. We see how he listened to the angel and how he done everything that God told him to do. And we know that Jesus was born in Bethlehem that day. But as I begin to think about the reason for it all, it didn't fit my plans. Let me explain what I mean. Joseph, life was going well. And there was an interruption. Have you ever thought about looking through the New Testament? And every time Jesus would perform a miracle, it was an interruption to somebody. It was never a planned thing. He would be going down the street and somebody would come up and tug on his garment. He was busy going to someone's house to minister, and there was an interruption, and he healed this lady. So many times in the Bible, God is in the interruptions. And as I think about that, I understand why. On a personal note, because I make my plans like Joseph. I make my plans centered around me. I make my plans about my life and about my faith and about my home and about the things that are going on that I see fit. And I do it based on what I understand God wanting me to do, but I still make the plans about me, the same way Joseph did. And then when he was interrupted, God said, I've got something else for you that's better than what you planned. Well, it didn't look better. This girl that I love, she's been unfaithful to me. No, that's how you see this interruption. This interruption to you is not an interruption to God. Understand that, because too many times we think because it's interrupted us that it's interrupted or it's caught God off guard. Nothing that ever takes place in our life, nothing that interrupts my plans ever catches God off guard. Understand that. Because he goes on as Joseph has his life plan and his interruption and he makes his new plans and God comes in and he says, this is my design. When did that design start? Before time began. When did God learn about you? Before time began. When did God learn about me? Before time began. Nothing that ever happens in my life is out of God's control. Nothing that ever happens in your life is out of God's control. And so if we will seek His design, we got two choices. Joseph is hearing from the angel, and the angel says, "This, don't be afraid." Joseph could have very easily followed his own plan. But he chose to follow God's design. And because of it, he was blessed. You know, sometimes God kind of gave me this week, and you guys are going to think I'm nuts, but this is where my brain was at. I feel like my spiritual life is like a bottle of Italian dressing. You know where I'm going with this? You go down here to Woods and you get that bottle of dressing off the shelf, or you pull it out of the back of your refrigerator, the door of your refrigerator, wherever you store it. What do you do? Why do you shake it? You shake it because you need it all to be mixed exactly the way it's supposed to be. Now, if that bottle of Italian dressing had feelings, and I'm pretty sure they don't, but if they had feelings, man, I'm just going to pour out this easy stuff. And it's right there close to the top. And then you grab it and you shake it. Man, that's what I feel like my life is sometimes. I've got my plan. It's all settled. And all of a sudden God says, let's shake this up a little. And He shakes it up. And what comes out is what's supposed to come out. Because when you realize that the things that I have planned and I have settled in my life are like that dressing. But God says, no. That's not the way the Italian dressing is supposed to come out of the bottle. I'm the one that made this dressing. So our lives get shook up in order for it to come out the way God intended. I know that's probably not what you thought you were going to hear this morning when you thought you were going to hear about Jesus and the birth. But think about this. In all the time that it was put together, life. The Roman government had come to a perfect place. They had come to a point in time where the Greek language, because of Alexander the Great, had basically the known world speaking one language. People religiously, after they had came back from captivity, began to worship in temples. They began to use idols, or to do away with more idols and go back to more of a sacrifice, a blood offering to take care of spiritual cleansing. All of that is in the bottom of that bottle. And God shakes it up so that it all comes out at just the right time. And in the fullness of time, God sent His Son to be born of a virgin, to be born under the law, to die for those that are under the law. At the perfect time. Now, all through captivity, all through the things that happened in the Old Testament, people are thinking, man, this is not the way I planned. I tried to live my life the way God wanted. I'm trying to follow the law. I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to do that. And then you take the New Testament, and all of a sudden, even to the individual basis of, here is Mary living her life, and all of a sudden, she's got to go back and tell her parents. Or Joseph is ready to get married and all of a sudden his life is shook to pieces. But all along, God had a plan. And all of this had to take place just so one part of this verse would happen. Look, if you would, in verse 21. The angel tells him, says, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. You know, as we go into this Christmas holiday, there are going to be a lot of people that are going to understand and hear about the name of Jesus. But I pray that they would hear the last part of that verse. For He will save His people from their sins. So many people out there don't even think they need to be saved. So we don't need that part of the verse. I'm living my life right. I'm doing the right things. I'm being a good person. Everybody's eventually going to go to heaven. That's their mentality. But it says that He will save His people from their sins. Well, I don't feel like I need to be saved. I feel like I'm doing okay. And even if I do need to be saved, it's not from drowning. It's not from a building fire. It's not from a car crash. The last part of that, it says He will save His people from their sins, from themselves. So many times we think we are in danger because of this world. Because of the things you and I have to face in this world, we feel like we're in danger. No, my God's got this world taken care of. Is it perfect? No. But it's His and it's in His hand. The thing I have to worry about, the thing I need to be saved from, the thing you need to be saved from, according to that verse, is from our sins. From what is within you, from what is within me, is what I need to be saved from. And once you understand, once people understand that Christmas is about Jesus and the reason for Jesus is the last half of this verse, they might understand that they need to be saved. They might even understand that there's something in them that's not right and they need to be saved from their sins. But the first part of that says, He will save them from their sins. It doesn't say Muhammad. It doesn't say Buddha. It doesn't say self-religion. It says He. That's singular. That's just Jesus. There is no other name under heaven whereby you must be saved. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by Him. He will save them from their sins. Okay, well, He's going to do it. It says He will save them. So I'm okay. Because He's going to save everybody. That's not what it says either. Go back to that same little verse. He will save His people from their sins. That doesn't mean just everybody. That means those people that are willing to serve Him, to give Him their heart. That is the reason Jesus came as a baby that day. That He would save His people from their sins. So as we go into the Christmas season, we stop and we think about, we want to tell people that it's about Jesus. Don't stop there. Because the fact that it's about Jesus is correct. But all they ever see or all they ever hear, and I love these shirts, don't get me wrong, Jesus is the reason for the season. I have one. I like those. But how many times do they just think, oh, that's, He was born as a baby in a manger. That's why we celebrate this. But why was He born in that manger? Why was He born in a manger that day? Yeah, He's the reason we celebrate. But the angel says when she bears His son, she'll call His name Jesus. And He will save His people from their sins. Do we need to reprint a shirt that says, Jesus is the reason for the season, but the real reason is so that He would save His people from their sins? That's a long shirt. Probably not going to work. Probably wouldn't sell. But it works. But the problem is, it can't just be written on a piece of material. It's got to be lived out. It's got to be spoken. It's got to be sang. It's got to be proclaimed. It's got to be understood by those that are out there. That it's not everybody. It's those that become His people. It's not just any way. It's only Him. You need to be saved. And the thing you need to be saved from is within you. As we take this passage of Joseph and Mary and this angel speaking to Joseph, one of the keys that I like in verse 24, by far not the most important, but it's one I like, said, when he woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. When he woke from his sleep, you know, in this passage, that is talking about he was literally physically asleep, having a dream, and woke up and went and did exactly as the angel commanded. But there are other passages in the Bible that talk about waking from sleep that are not talking about physical sleep. They're talking about spiritual sleep. They're talking about those times when I'm in the middle of my plans, like Joseph, and spiritually I'm just snoozing away. And God wants to say, wake up. Tell people the reason that Jesus came. It wasn't so you could have a holiday. Wake up from your spiritual sleep, Steve, and tell people daily. Jesus is the reason for the season, but He's the reason for every season. And the reason we don't talk about Him even in Christmas time is because December 26th is coming. And it'll all take down the decorations. Some of you won't take them down until all year maybe, but I'm not going to point names back there in the corner. But it gets put back on the shelf. Because He's just the reason for that season. And I know most of the time that is people that are in society thinking about the fact that we celebrate this holiday because of this child born in a manger in Bethlehem. And that's all they know of Him. But He is there all year around. Not still in that manger. He's in my heart. And if you've accepted Him as Lord and Savior, He's in your heart. And if you haven't, I want you to understand one thing. Sometimes when your life gets shook up, like that dressing bottle, maybe there's a reason God's trying to get your attention. If you're a Christian, things get shook up, remember, God's in control. Maybe He's trying to get your attention. He shook up Joseph to get his attention. I can tell you many times in my life He shook mine up to get my attention. Why do we make God shake us up to get our attention? Let's pray. Father, I thank You so much for this day. Lord, I thank You for the opportunity just to come into this place. Lord, may it always and only be about You. Your purpose, Your reason for our life, for Your glory and for Your honor. Lord, I thank You and I praise You for this opportunity to love You. Jesus, I do love You. In Your name I pray. Amen.